You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Mason Dixon, joined by my co-host, Corey, the Bayou Benders, and this is Habs, your hub for Habs content. Happened, Corey. I was fucking jumping for joy. The gods are real. The hockey gods are smiling upon the Montreal Canadiens. Jeff Gorton has come in. Bergevin, Timmins, Mellenby, Paul Wilson, they're all gone. Wilson is clean in house, and the days are going to be sunnier for the Montreal Canadiens. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. I'm nursing a sick hangover. I'm also learning that if it rains and you're bald, you're going to get sick. So it's just new things I'm learning about getting older. But waking up in the middle of like my hungover day to this news was very, very pleasant.
I've got to be honest. I felt like weeping. It felt like it would never come. It really did. Last game, I was watching it and Montreal won, obviously. But I just had this feeling of despair. Like, oh my God, they've won this game.
It's going to push it further.
Yeah, he's never going to leave. It's never going to be over. And then the rumor started. Rumors that Jeff Gorton in the mist, there were whispers from Engels and Friedman. And I think everyone kind of just dismissed them. We thought, no, we've got our hopes up before. We've heard rumors Bergevin might get fired, stuff like this. And then things just seemed to pick up out of nowhere. Like right after the game, it was, oh my God, we could hear something in the morning. And I still honestly was, I'm so numbed by the Habs, I didn't believe it. So when I got the news that Gorton was hired, and then immediately after, the following news broke that Mark Bergevin had been, and the rest had been fired. It was, look, I never want to, like, obviously people have been fired today. It's sad for them. But oh my God, was the relief that I felt. It was fucking orgasmic. Let me tell you, a weight was lifted off my shoulders. All my stresses and concerns, I'm in college, for some reason they were all Habs related, they're all gone now. And I'm just so excited for the coming weeks and the rest of this season. It finally feels like we're losing for something. And what a hire from Jeff Molson. Jeff Gorton is a phenomenal executive in this league.
Hey, he put the Rangers back on a winning pace.
He's the one that issued that statement.
Yeah, about them. About like he wasn't afraid to say we have to rebuild.
They were like close to a playoff spot too.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like the start of the season. I don't know if people remember. They were like 4 points out of the play, or they might have been in the playoffs. They might have been in a wild card spot, but yeah, he just said, look, we need to do this. Made the trade for Adam Fox, drafted a bunch of guys such as Lafreniere. Obviously he won the lottery twice with Kako and Lafreniere, but also drafted guys like Braden Schneider, Nils Lundqvist, Keandre Miller, Vitali Kravtsov, who we'd heard rumors that there was some interest from the Montreal Canadiens. So that's very intriguing to say the least. Yeah. Who else is he's drafted, you know, and built through the draft and created a strong team for the future here. And look where the New York Rangers are now. They're fifth in the league, is it?
I'll look it up one more time, but yeah, they're running strides right now.
And if I'm not mistaken, I also think he made the trade for Zibanejad. I just want to double check.
They are sixth in the league, right behind Edmonton.
Sixth in the league after Gorton was fired last year. So that's incredible. Let me just double check here too. Yeah. He made the trade for Mika Zibanejad, mm-hmm. I believe. Yep, made the trade for Mika Zibanejad. So that guy he's proven that he's a great executive. I love what Montreal is doing here. Personally, I think that Jeff Molson has played this kind of perfectly. And let's be honest, Jeff Gorton, a man of that stature, isn't going to take a position as the executive of hockey operations or vice president, whatever you want to call it, if he doesn't have a lot of say. Okay, he's done this before in New York. It was a similar situation. His hands are going to be all over this team. And I say it's smart because Montreal has still said they're going to hire a general manager who can speak English and French. Now, that doesn't mean they'll be francophone. It could mean they're simply bilingual, but it probably means they'll be francophone. But how Molson's played it pretty smart, I think, because by getting Gorton, you can bring in a new fresh-faced GM. We're not recycling another person, you know, that's been through the wickets, like seen, we know what we're getting from them. You can get a brand new fresh-faced francophone GM who's going to satisfy that, I don't know, that need from French media and some French fans. Mm-hmm. But you're going to have the best, and it's not because he's Anglophone, it's just because he is probably one of the best options pulling the strings in the background. I think it's a great hire from Jeff Molson, and I think it's a great way to kind of skirt around that pesky language issue.
Yeah, absolutely. I was looking around trying to see if they had any you know, already put together list of people that would be either bilingual or francophones that would fill this role well. And I just don't think there's enough out to be honest yet, especially in the aspect of like new possible brand new GMs coming in, you know what I'm saying? Like people getting their first run at it. I just don't think there's been enough time for people to really break that down and put out like a really solid list. But I mean, you know, the obvious names I've seen is like Luongo, Brodeur, Patrick Waugh, a couple more. But I think who is it? Jeff Molson's putting out a statement tomorrow evening, I believe.
He's having a press conference. Press conference. 11 a.m.
11 a.m. Okay. So yeah. So maybe we'll find out a little bit more information. You know, I know that the tech geniuses are going to have this stuff up and running soon. There was one list, but I mean, if they literally put anyone that was francophone or bilingual, like having like Claude Lemieux, Pascal Dupuis, you know, Trevor Timmons, who we just moved on from, Scott Mellenby, who we just moved on from, you know, just basically anybody that could speak the language was allowed to be on this list.
It's an interesting story with Mellenby. So the news we heard was that Marc Bergevin recommended Mellenby to mm-hmm. be his replacement. We know how close they are. Mellenby turned down, pulled himself out of the running for a general manager position with, I believe, the Anaheim Ducks. Mm-hmm. I think was it Anaheim? Anyway, it doesn't matter. He pulled himself out of the running for a general manager position to stay with Montreal. And Marc Bergevin recommended him to be the next GM. So clearly our kind of, I don't know, what do you want to say, prediction or thoughts on that Bergevin not returning were correct. Those suspicions were confirmed. It looks like he wasn't returning. There were talks about it. Apparently they had talked about him becoming the president of hockey operations. And then I think if I had to guess, Gorton probably entered the equation. Molson probably decided, you know what, I want a completely fresh start, which I totally agree with. And Mellenby was told he would not be in the running for the general manager position. So he resigned beforehand. Bergevin was allegedly upset. And you know what I have to say to that? To quote Mark Bergevin himself, if you want loyalty, buy a dog. And if those of you don't remember when Markov and Radulov left, and I believe it was Markov actually that said something about loyalty, and Bergevin said that. So, you know, karma, I guess, has its funny ways of always getting back to you. So,
but also it's a lesson learned by Jeff Molson that I'm happy to see, because someone had brought up, I believe it was when Bob Gainey was leaving, he had recommended Pierre Gauthier. And
we saw how that turned out.
Yeah. He was like, okay, perfect. You know, gave that a shot. And then, I mean, damn, the dude was only in office for 2 years, you know, in the front office for like 2 years. So I'm happy that he's not taking the referral, you know, lightly, you know, just like, look, we've already tried this before. It hasn't worked. Let's move on from that, you know? So.
No, for sure. And I think it's a great look. I know Scott Mellenby was highly sought after. I think that he will find another place to be in a front office in the NHL. I think he's a potential general manager candidate, probably in the offseason this year. You're going to see guys get fired. It's going to happen. We'll see what happens there. I don't think this isn't Mark Bergevin's final job in the NHL.
No.
He'll get another job. But what I think Jeff Molson was wise to understand, and I agree with him, is that this team needs a totally new start. That's why Timmins is gone. That's why Paul Wilson of PR is gone.
Yeah, you need to uproot the entire tree. That means the roots as well.
The only major, what do you want to say, like,
branch
strong
left.
Arm there is Rob Ramage of player development. Now, I don't think that's a mistake. I think that's intentional. We have a guy that Ramage has been very close contact with in the offseason and throughout the year in Jordan Harris. I think it would be a mistake to cut off, sever that connection there and restart. I think that's a smart move. But I also love this because it lets Gorton gets to come in there and hire who he wants. You know, he's going to be able to really kind of paint this organization in the picture, in the direction that he wants it to go, which is what you need. Now, I posed this question on Twitter too, so I want to pose it to you. An interesting development though now is, what happens with Dominic Ducharme? Dominic Ducharme was Bergevin's man. Bergevin had stuck behind him for a lot. It's kind of been known that Ducharme was always going to be the next guy. He's been groomed for this. Bergevin's behind his back. I'm curious because, you know, if he is fired, there will be three coaches on salary. What happens with Dominic Ducharme? What do you think?
Okay, so as a fan, I think if you're moving house, you do a clean sweep. I don't think that he needs to go right away. I don't think you make a rash decision too soon. Allow yourself to look around at what's available to you and then make the best possible move. But I don't see him sticking around. And it's just because once the new GM comes in, once this new, you know, front office assembles, you got a guy that was brought in with an old vision. You can't have something dead lingering around. You got to prune it like a tree, you know? So I don't see him lasting out past the season. I think we see him move on.
I'm kind of on the fence here. I don't think Dominic Ducharme is going to be fired right away. I think that's unreasonable. I
No, just I don't think he's had a chance. And
well, I disagree there. I think he's had a chance. But as a fan, because people inside the organization, they know this, but we don't. We don't have a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
We don't know what goes on in that locker room. I am curious to see if Ducharme's coaching style changes.
Yes.
Maybe Bergevin. I'm not blaming Bergevin. I'm not accusing him. I'm just saying it's a possibility.
But as a fan, all the rumors come from there.
Yeah, but I'm saying Bergevin could have influenced him. Mm-hmm. We don't know. His coaching style, like as I've said, Ducharme's been like this since juniors, okay? He benched Kale McCarr. So I'm not too confident in the fact that miraculously his coaching style is going to change because Mark Bergevin is fired. What I can confidently tell you is that Jeff Gorton is a man who believes in building through the draft. He did it in New York. He did it in Boston, where he drafted Marchand, brought in Chara. He did a lot there. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He is not going to be okay. I can say this with 100% certainty. He will not allow the young players to be benched and to be buried under veterans. That's not Gorton's style. Sheltering them is different, but burying them in the depth chart, I don't see that continuing. It will for the next few weeks. Gorton's got to get, you know, dip his toes in the water. He's not just going to come in guns firing. He's got to take evaluation, kind of look at what he has, what he has to work with. So some fans are going to expect change by the next game. It's not going to happen, okay? We're still going to be in for a difficult season, to say the least. But I really, truly believe that we're going to see the young players either sent back to the minors or they're going to be utilized a lot better, because I just don't see a man with his past allowing the youth to be stifled by a rookie coach.
I think if he could change, if he can change his play style with the new, whatever the new Montreal Canadiens front office decides to run, then okay. But I just don't see it sticking around. It's never like in hockey history, you know, you move GM, you move everybody else, that coach ends up getting moved on because they want to bring in their own personnel. They want to bring in someone that they believe is going to run a team the way that they want it done. I haven't been much of a fan of, so I don't, you know, I guess I'll be biased and say that I don't see him sticking around. He might finish out the season just to see what coaches are available, but I wouldn't, if there's a coach that, you know, whatever group we bring in is has their eyes on, I don't think they need to wait, you know. I think if they know who they want, they need to go after it.
I think that's true, but I also think in the case of Montreal, the coach is going to be francophone. And I don't know off the top of my head who you bring in that is better than Dominic Ducharme that speaks French.
Right.
Now, we can bicker and talk about how much we are vehemently against this all we want. It doesn't change the fact that that's what's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
I think it's, honestly, I think it's discrimination. I think if it was any other language, if it was a cultural thing, imagine this was sexuality, right? Like, this would be so illegal. But for some reason, think about it.
No, you're absolutely right.
Like, I think in Canada, especially, we're so numb to that because in politics, we limit ourselves to candidates based on if they can speak. Now, we are a bilingual country, so it makes sense to a degree. But in the world of hockey, it should be best. It's discrimination. You look at soccer, you can get translators. Either way, it's not going to happen. We know that. I can sit here and bitch about it all I want. It's not going to change anything. So mm-hmm. I just don't see Ducharme being fired right away, or maybe not even at all this season, due to the fact that I don't know who you replace him with.
Right.
And on that note, I think we'll circle back and why don't we talk about, so you, I know you had some speculation about who we think Montreal's next general manager will be.
Yeah, there's I'm seeing a lot of people saying maybe like Daniel Briere, just because Gordon and him go back from New York days and stuff. He was the ECHL, I believe it was like Maine, something like that. So I'm seeing a lot of stuff from that. I mean, if we have to go and do a Francophone draft, then maybe like I see a lot of Luke Robitaille's. That'd be pretty sick.
I've seen two names in particular really come up, and that is Matthew Darche.
Yes.
And Martin Madden Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Darche is currently with
Tampa. With Tampa Bay, yep.
And I don't know what capacity he's in there. And Martin Madden Jr. is the assistant general manager for the Anaheim Ducks. Now, we've seen what he's kind of done there and brought in a lot of really good young guys, Troy Terry, Trevor Zegras, Jamie Drysdale, etc. And Matthew Darche is been very instrumental in a lot of the cap circumvention and other like contract stuff in Tampa Bay. So I think they're both very good candidates.
Darche is the director of hockey operations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think they're both good candidates. And honestly, if Montreal gets either of those guys, I will be very, very happy. Madden in particular, I think I lean that way a little more. He was heavily recruited by Ron Francis for the Seattle Kraken. Madden was actually a scout for the Carolina Hurricanes in 2006. But he chose to stay. So I think that tells me he's either very happy in Anaheim or he's looking for a promotion to a general manager position. And the other two names that I've seen spoken about a lot are Patrick Waugh and Roberto Luongo. Now, Luongo, I think, has surprised me a little bit, although I understand the merit behind it because he is the general manager for Team Canada. He's making a lot of those decisions. I don't think I would ever go that way. I think we've tried a rookie GM who was a former player in Marc Bergevin. I don't know if that's the guy, but I do think it could work because in saying that, we did elaborate earlier that Jeff Gordon was going to be the guy. He's going to make most of the moves. So maybe that's a good
way. He's going to be the GM that brings in, hopefully, analytics to this franchise. Actually bring in a team like this is the most futuristic we're going to see the Habs, and the Habs are so like they're like 10 years outdated from the rest of the league. It's going to be like a breath of fresh air. So that's why I just feel like there's a lot of possibilities. Like I know that it's, you know, we're going to get bilingual everything, you know, if not all Francophones, but I feel like if there's ever a time to do it, this is, you know, we just cleaned the entire house. This is the time to fucking, if we're ever implementing the change into the future, the way that hockey's going, this is the time to do it.
No, definitely. And I think, like I'm alluding to having Roberto Luongo in that position, I think I'm not really for it, to be honest.
A lot of goalies names are popping up.
Yeah, but I just don't think that. And I don't think it's a smart decision, to be honest, but I can understand since Gordon's going to be making the decisions anyway. Now, the Patrick Waugh one, however.
That one scares me, but his name is trending because you just got Biz that just put this one is making so much sense. I don't know who created this rumor, but it's making sense more and more. And now that tweet is blowing up.
See, I see that, and I just honestly, I have to
totally disagree. I cringe. I fucking cringe. Because I think of Chicago. I mean, not Chicago. I think Colorado. Like,
but that's not my problem with it, to be honest.
Gave up on him.
But Patrick Waugh is the general manager of is it the Ramparts? He's a general manager of some team.
Yeah, the Quebec Ramparts.
Yeah, the Quebec Ramparts in the QMJHL. He knows how to be a general manager. My problem is if you think, like I said before, Jeff Gorton's going to wear the pants here, okay? Patrick Waugh is not gonna
take it.
Oversee like that is just, if you honestly believe Patrick Waugh is gonna be okay with someone looking over his fucking shoulder and telling him who he can pick up and what he can do, you're out of your goddamn mind.
Yeah, I think the biggest risk is Patrick Waugh. As much as people think it's making sense, it's that cockiness and attitude that comes with him that makes it a bit scary.
It wouldn't work. I just don't see how that dynamic works. But people are going to talk, people are going to speculate. So what can you do? I'm not personally for it, but I don't see it happening, to be honest. Now, in saying that, I really do believe this boils down to Matthew Darsh and Martin Madden Jr. We've heard rumors about them from the insiders. Chris Johnson saying he believes Darsh is the front runner. We'll see how things go in the coming days. This isn't going to be a rushed decision. We might not have a general manager for the rest of the year. Plain and simple, we might not.
Right.
They're going to take their time. They're going to choose the best candidate available, because I think Molson has totally bought into it here. Clearly, Gorton and him have had discussions. There's going to be a plan of action. And you can assume that it's going to be building around guys such as Suzuki, Caulfield, Romanov, and whoever we get in the top five this year.
Okay.
Top 10. Because let's be honest, if we finish outside the top 10, it's going to be a miracle run. Before we finish talking about Gorton, I think we should just discuss a little bit about his background. I know we kind of alluded to that earlier, but I thought you had a funny little tidbit of information there talking about Logan Mallow, if you want to interject there.
Oh yeah. I forgot who put it on Twitter, but it made me laugh. You know, talking about, changing houses and sweeping out the bad and bringing in the good. Someone had tweeted, it's awesome that, you know, we're finally seeing a bit of positive come in. We're moving on from the guy that brought in, blanking on the name. I'll never know this kid's name. What's his name?
Logan Mallow.
And bringing in the guy who pushed out, Tony DeAngelo. And I'm sure some people like the person who tweeted that is feeling like they can, breathe a sigh of fresh air, maybe start buying Habs merchandise again. But I thought that was pretty clever. Some people just have this stuff waiting in their sticky notes on their phone, waiting to throw a tweet out like that. But it was comical. It's a little tough when people are losing their jobs and stuff. Like, the statement by Mark Bergevin was pretty well written. It seemed like it came from the heart, but.
Oh, definitely.
Still that little tweets like that has made today a little bit easier, you know?
I agree about what you're saying regarding Mark Bergevin's letter, I guess, his farewell. But I think that Logan Mallow comment is interesting too, because yes, it's a joke. It's funny. It's true. Like let's keep in mind, Gorton also did bring in DeAngelo. However, that was before that was when DeAngelo was pretty young. But in saying that, it is very interesting to me to kind of speculate about what they're going to do with Logan Mallow. Now, well,
I don't mean to cut you off. It seems like, you know, he brought him in, but also understood the problems coming with it and decided, you know, being the person who can make this decision, that we need to move on from him. And that's what I like most about it, is to understand that, yes, we have a problem. And you're instead of just
Tony DeAngelo.
Okay. Seeing the problem get worse, seeing the the chemistry of the team, you know, just dissolve around it because of this enigma in the group. Having the ability to move on and taking whatever backlash or repercussions could have came from up above, you know, and had it done. So that's what I like most about it.
Yeah, no, I think Gordon clearly values good chemistry and good character in the locker room. But in regards to Logan Mallow, I say it's interesting because I'll be honest, I forget that he's even a prospect for the Montreal Canadiens. Mm-hmm. Like I don't even consider him a prospect when I think about it. Like I talk about other players I'm excited for. And he's just not one of them because I legitimately forget. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know if he's even, is he even playing hockey this year? Like I'm not sure. Let me quickly go on.
Well, yeah. While you look it up, I'm not saying that like Gordon's going to come in and be like, yeah, we need to rid ourselves of this.
Yeah. He's
but straight. If I like that, if something is bad for this team, he's not afraid to fix it, you know, let it just fester.
Mallow isn't even playing hockey this year. He's just, I don't know. I don't think about him. It'll be interesting to see. What I'm saying is I wonder if they simply cut ties and just kind of move on because I whenever I think about that situation, I think about Trevor Timmons being asked why they thought Mallow was ready when he said he wasn't. And I don't know if you remember this, Corey. He literally sat there and there was silence for 30 seconds and he was going like, and like kind of, I can't show you because we don't have a camera, but kind of like tilting his head to the side, like, I don't fucking know.
and we just kind of made a pick, you know?
Like, it just reminds me of that. So it'll be interesting to see what transpires there. Now, moving on from that, as you said, Mark Bergevin did have a very touching, I think, goodbye. He said, and I think it proved, if you've read it, that he cared a lot about the Montreal Canadiens. He put his heart and soul into this team, and I really can't say I disagree. Like, you can accuse Bergevin of a lot of things. We have, okay? We've accused him of stuff with Mallow, of making horrible hockey decisions, of doing a lot of things. You can never say or make the accusation that Mark Bergevin didn't care about the guys and didn't care about this team. I mean, it was clearly very important to him.
Yeah. If the only image you can think of that you could pull up on Mark Bergevin, if you just look at his, you know, his happiness and his just on edge all throughout the playoffs last year and just the excitement to win and just how he would come down and just this is the joy with the team itself. Like, that man gave his soul to this team. He learned how to be a GM and they gave him 9 years to do it. to like finally get it, I guess, under his control. But I don't think it was ever a moment where like his passion was not in.
It was never questioned.
He might not have been doing it the best, but yeah, no, his loyalty and his support and all of that was always for, you know, this team. It might not have made sense to us, like he said at the bottom. When you read it, it's well written too. He says something about the team that he has with us right now. That some people, I can't find it on the spot, but I know he said that people don't think the team's that great, but you know, oh, here it is. The current team is much better than the results show. I'm proud of the legacy I'm leaving with this organization. I am convinced that my successor will be able to rise to the challenge, meaning that, you know, with the team that he's assembled, we have a tough start, but.
I did see that he kind of, and I think it's part of, I don't think he meant it in a facetious way.
No.
But it kind of just shows why Mark Bergevin needed to be relieved of his duties because the ship has already sunk. Bergevin is free floating, no life raft, nothing. And he still thinks, no, I did a good job. Yeah. Right? Like, he is totally.
But I mean, see, so I'm taking it from a, I'm taking it from a, position where, like, he, looking at last year to this year and what we could have kept if we just would have, you know, just stopped being so damn stingy. I think that this part, the current team is much better than the result show. I think that's more written for the players. Whoever's reading that's on this team, that's trying to make things work, I think that's more issue to them to say that, you know, despite everything that's going on, like, we brought you in here because we believed in you, even if people are fucking, you know, thinking it was the worst decision ever. I think that, you know, there's little clips in there that was just so from the heart that doesn't look like it was just written by like a secretary or someone, you know, like a manager or some shit to help them. You know, some of it legit sounds like it comes straight from like a man who's saying goodbye to his life.
Oh, definitely. And I think it's classy that Montreal allowed him to kind of say goodbye. That was posted on the Habs website, right?
Yeah.
Like, Montreal remains classy to the end. Bergevin is a classy individual. And I think it's just good that we've parted ways now, or him and the organization have, sorry. And now we're able to kind of start fresh, start anew. And I've got to say, I'm really excited for the rest of the season. Like, beforehand we talk, I wasn't, outside of the first overall pick, I wasn't confident that Montreal was going to make the correct selection. Now I'm at ease. Look, we've got new leadership. Montreal has something to build for here. And there, this, you know, it's not like there's nothing there. We have young pieces there. Nick Suzuki's 21. Caulfield, 20. Romanov is 21. Norlander is 21. Caden Gooley, 19 years old.
Scored 2 goals today.
Jan Mišák, who has been absolutely tearing up the NHL, is 19 years old. Joshua Waugh leads the QMJHL in scoring. I believe he's 18. I think we drafted him last year. Yeah. Sean Farrell coming up. Like, there are already good prospects in this system.
That should be feeling like a, you know, like a relief, you know.
No, exactly. There is also a great, you know, leader in the locker room, and Brendan Gallagher, Jonathan Drouin's there. There are guys you can trade, such as Ben Chiarot. You can look, Petrie's gonna get his game back. You can trade him for pieces. You can trade Toffoli, Anderson, Hoffman's gonna come. Like, there are pieces you can trade for draft picks for young players, and there are players already developing, already ready to kind of
in the system that are ready to just fill that spot when they move.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is an exciting time for the Montreal Canadiens. In a weird way, I don't know if I felt better about their future in a long time. Really, like, truthfully, like, this is a breath of fresh air I think we needed. And it's going to be really exciting to see what direction Jeff Gorton goes here. If we sell, like, there's just so many options. Like, I don't know what he's going to do. And that excites me, because at the end of the day, we all knew what Mark Bergevin was going to do. He was going to double down by
he was basically playing fucking blackjack with this team.
Yeah. He was going to do the same thing. He wasn't going to sell. Now,
yeah.
Like, we're going to lose players we love. Okay.
I'm excited for Gordon's first, you know, public, address or announcement, whatever.
So
you want to call
am
it.
I. So he's,
because it's going to be nuts. Like,
he's currently in Victoria, BC for a hockey tournament.
Nice.
So with his son, so this obviously wasn't planned. he has yeah, he's going to obviously make an announcement sometime this week. I don't think they've announced it. I'm really excited to see what Jeff Molson has to say. That's going to be a bombshell. And yeah, I'm just really excited with where this team's going to go. Like, it's fucking awesome, to say the least.
Hell yeah, man. And before we go any further with the excitement, we have an exciting ad read by our sponsors, DraftKings. The NHL season is underway, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings daily fantasy sports contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Go and download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN, throw down $1 on any NHL game, and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you big wins with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit, a $1 wager required, one per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. So, Mason, I have a quick question for you, and I'm sure we'll be wrapping up soon. But whenever, you know, we decide to get a GM, whether it's, you know, before the end of the season, before the start of the next, what is one of the first things you hope the GM gets done or maybe puts in motion with this team? Ooh, I guess if you need to think about it for a second, I have one that I've been thinking about. And it kind of goes into what we just talked about these futures we got, right?
Right.
So I'm thinking that whoever we choose has got to either go visit or give a call to Jordan Harris and have a conversation with him. And, you know, just we talked about this last episode or the previous one, and just kind of reinstill faith in this kid and this organization. Now that, you know, there's going to be new pieces here that hopefully he can find confidence in, because this kid could be one of the best defensemen of this new generation. And, you know, we don't know, but I would hate to see him move on before getting a shot here. I think that's what.
What a declaration. I don't know if I'd go that far.
I think he's going to be great.
Oh, I think he's going to be great. I don't think he's going to be the next Adam Fox or Cale Makar. But, I mean, you know what? The sky's the limit for most players. Maybe you just love him a little more than I do, but I only interrupt you because I agree with you. Like, I was going to say I'm excited because of that Massachusetts bond. Jeff Gordon is from Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. I believe that's where Harris is from too, if I'm not mistaken. Let me just quickly do a Google search here. Yeah, born in Massachusetts. So, yeah, I'm excited for that.
Massachusetts, baby. I love it. I love the way you say it.
Is that not how you say it?
Massachusetts. 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 Massachusetts.
Okay, I don't even think you're saying it correctly.
No, I'm picking on you. It's Massachusetts. But you were saying Massachusetts with like she's tooting.
Shoots it.
That's how we say it down here, I guess. Maybe I've been saying it wrong my entire life, but I believe it's Massachusetts, not Tootsits.
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. I don't know. With the T's up front, it sounds like you got big buck teeth, like you're like a young kid.
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
I don't have to say that word enough to know how to say it, but I can say Saskatchewan without fumbling over my words. So
that's true. I couldn't say Chicoot me. I couldn't say that. That was an ignorant ass episode.
Well, anyway, they're both from Mass. New England, I'll just say for now. And I'm excited to, hopefully we can get some, solid good news regarding that front. So we're not kind of worried about losing him.
Well, what I like about the new haul, you know, the overhaul that's coming in, is it's like, it's going to feel like how Seattle felt, you know, like every day there was a chance for new news about this. And it's like, yeah, this is a historic organization, but it's getting an uplift. It's like putting a new CPU. It's like giving your computer new updated components to like be better. This team is like got cobwebs on it. It's using old ass systems, and we've just been surviving in the new world without it. You know, we're going to get a chance to see all new kinds of stuff get brought into the Montreal Canadiens. And I'm excited every day for the rest of the season going into the next one. There's a chance that something awesome is going to come out that gets us even more excited about the next season.
No, definitely. It's an exciting time for the Montreal Canadiens, to say the least.
Yeah, I don't think I just fucked Jordan Harris like I did Jeff Petrie, but I don't think he's had a shot yet. So,
oh, I think you need to just keep your mouth shut regarding defensemen, because the fucking jinx, you the what do you want to call curse?
I didn't put anything on him.
You put a hex on and I find out that you still haven't dropped him from your fantasy pool.
No, I haven't. Ladies and gentlemen, I haven't.
Corey is the reason Jeff Petrie is struggling. He has doubled down on his jinx, and the hockey gods are not happy. It's the only explanation for what's happened to his play. So I'm going to blame
you. I'm pulling up my fantasy right now. Let's find out.
He has 2 points in 20 games, Corey. Like, you've,
it's not the points that's got him kept on my team.
You're just stubborn, and you've got to admit it.
Look, in 2 weeks, this man's got me 15 hits and 6 blocks. That is his sole purpose on my team right now.
Why don't, if you're just looking for hits, fucking pick in blocks, pick up Robert Hag. You probably get you more points than Jeff Petrie. No, you are being stubborn. You are doubling down on your hex.
You know why I have not taken him off yet? Because every time that I go to, I'm like, you know what? I think it's Tom. And then I go and I check updates on Joel Edmondson and I hear something new and I'm like, fuck it. Let it ride. I got enough good defensemen around
me. you need to drop him, because you and I both know the day you drop him,
he's going to fucking go.
He has like 6 points.
But then what happens? I'll pick him back up. Do you want him to have a phenomenal game and then
Are you asking me if I care more about Jeff Petrie's season or your fantasy pool? This might be a hard pill to swallow, Corey, but I don't give a shit about your fantasy
pool. I got Jeff Petrie hubris. Okay.
You do. You're doubling down on something that you know. This is how the hockey gods work, my friend. It's just the will of the gods. You're going to have to drop them.
I promise I'll make a statement the day I drop him from this team.
Which should be tomorrow.
I'll have to make a deep look into the depth of players that are available to see if it's worth dropping my 291 ranked Jeff Petrie.
You're 291 ranked, and how many fucking player like teams are in your league?
It's a 10-man league.
A 10-man. How many people on the roster?
Let's see. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Because I have some IRs. I have two IRs and then an IR plus slot because of COVID.
What was Petrie ranked again?
291.
Even if you had the worst player
I gotta let it ride, dude.
Yeah, that he's.
I gotta let it ride.
There are 210 players in your league, and you have the 292nd fantasy option.
He's been solid. He's been solid, dude. Oh. He's been solid.
You're that guy. You're that guy in the fantasy league that, it, you know what? You could be winning, and, you know, the seasonal, you'll have a guy that did well for you at the start of the year, and you'll throw away the championship just to keep him on your roster.
Sometimes I can be selfish. Sometimes I can be selfish. I believe in the player.
You know what? If Montreal gets the first overall pick this year, you can thank Corey, because he is, and I am totally convinced, the reason Jeff Petrie is slumping this season.
Well, people might congratulate me.
You could be a folk hero in Montreal.
You know, the boy from New Orleans that put Montreal on the map again on the NHL.
Put Montreal back on. Holy.
Oh, man. I don't know. Maybe I'll get a job. I'll go pick up, like, everybody that's destroying us. You know, just have a terrible league.
Well, who do Montreal play next week? We could try that theory.
Let's see.
Let's see. They play Vancouver tomorrow.
Oh, shit. Vancouver's been tough, too. Not like they're playing great. They've been
horrible.
Like, that's what I mean. Like, it's been tough for them.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is the last game. Oh, yeah, he is. I got him on my team, but it's a keeper league. He's locked in from last year. So,
keeper league.
Yeah. But this is the last game of November coming up. It'll be the first game of a new era. And December is looking bright for the boys. And I might just drop Jeff Petrie. You know, I might just set him free.
You should set him free. He deserves better than what he's received from you. Look, I dropped Cole Caulfield.
I did too. Yeah, I had Cole Caulfield. I had Toffoli. I've kept Toffoli and Jake Allen.
Oh well. Anyway, so are we done for the day? Do we have anything else we need to discuss, or are we good to kind of wrap things up
here? I think we're good.
All right. Well, without further ado, thank you guys for coming along, listening to us ramble about the Habs for another hour or so. We really appreciate the support. Appreciate you guys taking the time out of the day to give us your support, your listens. We appreciate all of that. Like Corey said, check out DraftKings, the best sports betting app in the world. And if you're feeling a little, you know, lazy, maybe you're laying in bed today, it's been pretty drowsy up here in Ottawa, you just want to look for another podcast to listen, you can check out all the other podcasts on the Hockey Podcast Network. And without further ado, thank you. That'll be it for today.
This has been Habs Nightly. We'll talk to you guys again on Thursday.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.